For any size donation before December 1st, we'll send you my new Advent devotional booklet. Make a secure online gift at thewordendures.org or make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And we'll send you my Advent devotional booklet.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
But my cross, my daily cross, that's whenever my will crosses God's will. That's my cross. And Jesus invites me and you to pick that cross up and carry it along behind him, to pray after him, not my will, but thine be done.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Matthew.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Phew, those were some hard words we heard from Jesus last time as St. Peter moved from star pupil to class dunce. And they weren't prompted by hatred, but by love. Because anything that stood in the way of Jesus going to his cross to suffer and die for this world and then to rise again was actually standing in the way of divine love, saving the human race. St. Peter, you, me, all of us. We also learned that it's never smart to try to correct Jesus. If he is who St. Peter confessed him to be, the Son of the living God, then he's not getting anything wrong. Best to let his words sink into our ears and believe them, rather than try to argue him out of them. And Jesus identifies the voice with which Peter would turn him away from the cross with Satan, and tells the devil to clear out, "Get behind me," as in, "You are not stopping me." And then he explains that Peter was thinking like fallen men love to think and not thinking with the mind of God. Merely human love would spare the beloved at all costs from suffering and pain. But it is divine love that will not let the threat of suffering and pain deter the bringing of salvation into the world. All right, picking up right there. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 24th verse. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." St. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 28. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but as becomes it, have free course and be preached and taught to the joy and the edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So you ready to dig into today's reading? Let's do this. Verse 24, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. St. Peter had tried to step in the way of Jesus heading to his cross, but Jesus makes it clear that that is where he's headed and nothing will deter him. And now he makes it clear, too, that the cross is not just the destination for him, but for any who would come after him. That is, who would be his disciple. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Commenting on this text in his Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the 20th century martyr under the Nazis, wrote, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Think of the men to whom he spoke this. Think of how all but John would indeed die as martyrs for him, and a number of them die literally by crucifixion. And how many martyrs have enriched the church in all the centuries since? And yet, for the majority of Christians, Jesus' words here are not fulfilled in literally being put to death for confessing Jesus Christ. True, we always try to prepare for that. In the rite of confirmation in the Lutheran Church, we even dare to ask, will you suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this confession of Jesus? But across the centuries, most Christians have found the application of these words of Jesus to involve not so much the heroic and the big death as the smaller little daily deaths. In the parallel in St. Luke's Gospel, the word daily is even in there. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What does it mean to deny oneself, to take up the cross daily, to follow Jesus? Well, I like to make the distinction between his cross and my cross. When Christians bear his cross, that's when they're suffering for his sake, for the sake of him being their Lord and them confessing him, like when the martyrs are put to death. But my cross, my daily cross, that's whenever my will crosses God's will. That's my cross. And Jesus invites me and you to pick that cross up and carry it along behind him, to pray after him, not my will, but thine be done. That will be his prayer in the garden, but truly it was the prayer of his entire life, and it must become yours and mine too. And yes, this is a taste of death each day. Because the old Adam, the desires of our sinful flesh, they fight against God's will. And the spirit that he gives us fights against the desires of that will, the sinful flesh. Jesus summons any who would be his to put those fleshly desires to death, to execute them. The path of discipleship is not the path of self-indulgence, but of self-mortification. And odd as it seems, that proves to be the path to life itself. And life is what he wants to give, as the next words make clear. Verse 25. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I think saving life here is bigger than we tend to hear it. Obviously, he is saying that the one who denies him in the face of persecution to save his own hide for a few more years of earthly life has made a very poor bargain. He's made the Esau deal, traded a heavenly birthright for a mess of earthly pottage. While on the other hand, the person who is steadfast under persecution and even goes to death confessing Christ is never the loser, no matter how much of a loser that person may appear to be to the unbelieving world. All of that is implied. But I think there's more here. For saving your life means, above all, preserving your life for yourself. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And losing your life embraces its opposite. My life is purely a gift from you, O Lord, and I pray that you will do with me as you see fit. That latter is the one who has found his true life, and that life is communion with the Blessed Trinity, a communion that death itself cannot destroy. Verse 26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Soul can be a difficult word to translate. This is psyche, from which we get psychology and such. It suggests something more than the mind, though, but it does include, above all, the uniqueness of a person's interior life, if you will. I think modern versions sometimes even render it here just as life. So what our Lord is teaching is that if you're a smashing worldly success, and you got fame, and you got money, and you got power, and you got whatever else this world has on offer, and yet you lose your authentic self, if you sell yourself out to this world and its lies, you finally have gained nothing, because this world is headed to an end. But you were meant to go on forever. Verse 27. "For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done." The thing which the worldling, the one who is in love with this world and his life in this world to the point that he's ready to dump Christ, if that's needed, to keep his life in this world, the thing the worldling has often forgotten is the coming of the Son of Man. He has promised to return. He will fulfill that promise. He will come again with all his angels and in the glory of his Father. And on that day, he will repay each and every one of us according to what we have done. This is, as we've noted several times before, the utterly clear teaching of our Lord in numerous places. And it's why it lands itself in the great Athanasian Creed at the end. Listen to how St. John Chrysostom unpacked this for his congregation in 4th century Antioch. "Why are you afraid, Peter," so he speaks, "as you hear of death? Then you will see me in the glory of the Father. If I am in glory, so are you all. Your interests are no way limited to this present life. Another sort of condition will take you up, a better one." Nevertheless, when he had spoken of the good things to come, he did not neglect to speak also of the fearful things to come. He spoke of the judgment seat and the inexorable account and the inflexible sentence and the judgment that cannot be deceived. Thus, Christ's discourse was not intended only to make people feel dismal, but it was tempered with good hope. He reminded the sinners, that is, those who die in rebellion against God, of punishment, but also them that have done well of rewards and crowns. So far, Chrysostom. Jesus wants you to keep the day of his coming in mind, and to do so in both the way of the law and in the way of the gospel. To remember that it will be a day of accounting, and so to live in godly fear, always seeking forgiveness, and always to be dressed in the robe of his righteousness. But that coming day, with all its joy, also imparts courage, even now, to do the harder thing, to pick up that cross and follow him, and deny yourself the fulfillment of the whims of your sinful flesh. Verse 28. "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." What a mysterious saying. But it's opened up for us when you remember what's coming next. That's the transfiguration, in which indeed some standing here, namely Peter, James, and John, actually get the foretaste of the kingdom of Jesus as they see the Son of Man shine in his glory, accompanied by his prophets and witnessed to by the voice of God the Father. They will get to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Does the transfiguration, though, exhaust the meaning? I don't think so, people up by God. I think he was also referring to that moment when he will be crowned with thorns, throned on a tree, and show his glory. by bringing in a kingdom that will never end, a kingdom replete in forgiveness and unending life. They get to see that too. The first, the transfiguration, is the glimpse of what the second, the cross, wins for us. Glorious indeed. And that's where we're going to have to stop for today. Obviously, next time, we join the three to witness Jesus shining in his glory. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.